Cape Talk. New beginnings.
Now, last year, I was invited to a fundraising quiz night at which I was introduced to an incredible organization called SAEP. It stands for the South African Education and Environment Project. And essentially, they're an NPO based here in Cape Town, all about education, life skills, and various other support programs, not just for young children, but for youths and education providers as well. Many, many different feathers in their cap. The projects range from supporting early childhood development centers to providing academic tutoring, after school activities for kids, mentorship, and much, much more. And one of their flagship programs is called the Tertiary Support Program, which helps learners make the transition from school to tertiary study, supports them on that journey to ensure that social and economic factors don't stand in the way of their success. Things like helping them apply for bursaries, offering living stipends, offering career guidance and mentorship, etc. And today in New Beginnings, I want to tell you about one successful graduate of that program. Sadly, we also have to share the story of his untimely death, but also the very hopeful story of what SAEP and partners are doing to honor his legacy. That young man's name was Sandiso Ndinisa. And with us in studio to tell us more about him are Andile Ngoko, who is the student support officer in the tertiary support program, as well as Ryan Blewett, who was Sandiso's mentor. Great to have you both with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andile, when did you first meet Sandiso?
I met Sandiso back in 2010 when he came to the program. The program before tertiary support program, which is the bridging year program, straight out of matric. Yeah. So when he wasn't sure what he wants to do, so he came to the program. That's when I first met him, and I got to be friends with him even after that program into tertiary support program.
And I understand he was somebody with a very fixed goal in mind. He was determined first to get his matric, then to get into tertiary study and to succeed, because he was passionate about getting his education.
And he did just that. He's one of our success stories. We meet about 60 to 70 beneficiaries every year. And he was one of those keen and knowing what they want to do, and his love for sports. And he went, he made his research and he got a qualification on sports management, and he wanted to pursue that further and went to do marketing at CPUT. So he was really driven, and yeah, he knew exactly what he wanted to do. And SAEP and all of the partners of SAEP helped to make that dream come true for him.
Ryan, let me bring you into the conversation at this point. You came on board as a mentor, I think, about a year later than Andile met him. How did you become involved?
It was 2011, and I was introduced to Sandiso through a friend of mine who at the time was volunteering at SAEP. And she mentioned this young, talented guy who was very self-motivated and had a love for sport. Mm-hmm. And she thought that we'd be a good fit. At that time, you know, the mentorship program was starting off. I think it wasn't really formalized, so we had a very informal first meeting, Sandiso and I. And I think the click was quite immediate. In that first meeting, he shared, you know, where he'd come from, what he'd put under his belt in terms of his matric, and more or less where he wanted to go. So it was quite a moving experience for me to hear exactly where he'd come from. And that's where our relationship began.
Okay, because where he'd come from was abject poverty.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was one of the most devastating stories I'd heard. And for me to actually see his positivity in light of his background was very moving. Okay. You know, he'd more or less come from a broken home that was split up. His father was absent, left the family at age 6. And his siblings, he's got a younger brother and a younger sister. The three of them were split up because the mother couldn't actually support the family, and they were farmed off to other members of the family. And he really wanted to get back together with his family, which happened in his high school career. But unfortunately, his mother had a very terrible partner at the time who was an excessive drinker, used to beat everybody up in the household. And I think his future, he thought, was really bleak, and he actually made an attempt on his life in high school, and he was pulled off the back of his soccer practicing pitch clubhouse, found by his coach, and he had ingested poison, you know, to actually off his life. But put into hospital, he decided this is actually a turning point for him, and he decided to make a real go. And that's when he got involved with SAEP, maybe a year or two later,
yeah,
and focused on sport, and he really just self-motivated himself through matric. And that's when I met him, just as he was going through his tertiary journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what a story. Andile, I understand not only was he managing to get his own qualifications in sports management and marketing, at the same time he was giving back to his community, coaching other kids, acting as a mentor to young kids, trying to get them involved in sport to keep them out of all kinds of negative influences. Sport, clearly a thread here that was something that he held on to very strongly.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Like, as you can, Ryan has said, like, he was not only playing sport within his community, he also took on like position to coach like young kids that from his neighborhood, and also the older ones that he would take on to coach and make sure that they stay into the team and all that. Yeah.
Now, two qualifications under his belt, he was busy with an internship last year when his life was ended. Andile, tell us what happened, or what you know of what happened.
Sad news when they came through, and I got the news from Ryan. He was really like about to start his life. He had everything he wanted to do, and a few weeks before I had this, he was looking at getting his license so that he can be more productive at his at his work, and he was asking best way to go about to get license, what material he should go through, and all those kind of things. And like when I heard about the news, and we find out that the incident happened not far from his house, and he was attacked. Literally, he was with someone. They just targeted him and stepped.
I've been asking many, many questions about what happened, and it's a very painful thing that that happened. And you're left just reeling in the wake of what happened. And so I've been trying to piece together exactly the events that led up. The police have actually been a little bit slow off the mark as well. The murderer is still at large. And what essentially happened was he was hanging out with his friends on a Saturday night, not far from his home. They'd finished a soccer practice, and they'd watched the soccer game. And there was a group of young people. There were a few girls around, and what I understand, it was a jealous sort of ex boyfriend that took the view that Sandiso was maybe involved with this girl. And actually just randomly attacked him and savagely attacked him. Mm. And this kid is still at large. And it was just the most gut-wrenching end to a beautiful life, really.
Yeah. And to a beautiful friendship, because I gather really from both of you, and I can see the emotion in your faces, this was much more than just one more kid in a program going through the ranks. You really had developed close friendships with him, hadn't you?
He was a real talent. His circumstances were really bleak, and I think he had just come such a long way. The times that we met, he was just full of positivity all the time. He made a home of SAEP. Mm-hmm. He used his every spare moment to network, improve his situation and that of his family. He was the main breadwinner for his family. So, it is very difficult to actually find any positivity that could come out of the situation.
But you have, and that's one of the reasons we've got you in here today, is to talk about that. Because, as you've mentioned, Sandiso was the main breadwinner for his family. And I know he had, besides the dreams he had for his own education and his own future, a big part of that was his dream of supporting that family and moving them out of their very precarious living environment into something more solid. Can you describe for us what it was that he wanted to achieve for them?
Absolutely. So during the time that I knew him, just alone, they'd lost their family shack on two occasions due to fire. He really honored his mom. He was the most brilliant son. That's the best way I could describe him. He really loved and honored his mom first and foremost. Actually, during the time that I knew him, there was no lack of interest from other girls in Sandiso, but he actually wanted to get his life on track first and be able to provide for his family, and then look at his own domestic situation. So he was on a journey to basically get them a formal house, and one that was made of bricks and mortar. And he always referred to having an address coming from somewhere, because I don't know if you're aware that in the informal settlement there are no street address, names, there's no nothing. So he believed that by having a proper address that his family were honored and they actually existed on a map. And that was really what he wanted.
Mm. So Ryan, you took the decision after hearing of his tragic death that this was something that even though he was gone, you could still try and help make a reality. So talk to us about what you've done.
It didn't occur to me immediately, and I knew that this life couldn't go out like this. And after reeling and attending his memorial at his home in Guguletu, it was an obvious thing to do, is to try and carry the flame forward. And I have no doubt that he would have actually done what he set out to do, like he did on every other step of his tick list. And so essentially what we are trying to do is build a fundraising platform to raise money to fulfill his legacy, and that is to get a formal home for his family. Mm-hmm. So we have a backer buddy page which we set up, and with the help of SAEP we are on our way to raising the funds.
That's amazing. Yeah. You're also, there's an event coming on Human Rights Day, which I gather is the day after what would have been his 30th birthday. That's going to hopefully help boost that fundraising target.
Yeah. I must just stop there quickly. So in our sessions, the mentor sessions, I actually don't like referring our sessions like that, because he was actually a friend of mine.
Yeah.
But I'd encourage him to think big and dream big. And one of his big dreams or ideas that we talked about was how sport had made a big change in his life, and that I think stemmed from that time when he was really down in the dumps and made an attempt on his own life. And he said he wanted to honor that and carry sport forward and try and create hope for youngsters in his situation. And he said, you know, why don't we trek a whole bunch of sporting equipment, you and me, we go up to the top of Kilimanjaro and we get him all this exposure, and we, you know, there's this outlandish idea which I really didn't think would ever come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But I thought, let me just try and bring that home a little bit. And that's where this walk came from, to tack on to what we're trying to do. And essentially what we're going to do is on Human Rights Day, like you said, on the day after his 30th, we're going to be walking from his home all the way up Klipfontein Road and ultimately up to the top of Table Mountain, carrying sporting equipment with the aim of donating that equipment to his soccer team, the Willow Stars. And that's his team. They're from Willowmore. The founding members were from Willowmore, his hometown in the Transkei. And that's what we're trying to do on Human Rights Day.
Cape Talk. Pippa's on Twitter. You can tweet her at PJC Hudson.
And while the news was playing, I have tweeted the link to the Backer Buddy fundraising campaign we've been talking about and the link to the Facebook page for the fundraising walk on the 21st of March. Just to wrap things up, with me in studio are Andile Ngoko and Ryan Blewett, talking to us about the story of the late Sandi Sondinisa and his vision of building a proper home with a proper address for his family. His life tragically cut short in December, but they have decided that in the spirit of the immense commitment to his goals and determination to succeed that young man showed in his life, they will pick up the torch and carry on with that plan. You were telling us before the break, Ryan, that the vision of, all right, taking sports equipment up Kilimanjaro, maybe a little bit too big, but taking it up Table Mountain, something you can do. If somebody wants to join the walk, what's it all about? What do they have to do?
So we are trying to keep it relatively informal. So whoever wants to join can actually join us at any point along the route, and we've sort of mapped out the route on the Facebook page, and it starts on Klipfontein Road just outside the Guguletu Cemetery, and we go along the pavements, and the idea is to bring a piece of sporting equipment, more specifically soccer related sporting equipment, so be it a ball, a bib, cones, boots, socks, etc. And it would really go a long way. I mean, Sandisa was actually coaching these young kids along the N2.
Yeah.
So if you go along the N2, you'll see on the verge a whole bunch of young people playing soccer.
Yeah.
That was the Willow Stars, and Sandisa was the coach there. And so it would be fantastic for us to see that equipment being used as we drive along the N2.
Amazing.
In addition, sorry, I must say that we'd like participants to get sponsored as well. and raise funds for every kilometer walked. We've calculated it's more or less 24 kilometers, and for those who are participating, you can walk however long you want or you feel that you can handle, but to get a sponsorship per kilometer that you cover. And connected to the Backer Buddy page. So that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, so the Backer Buddy page is to finish that house for Sandiso's family. Exactly. The walk also to collect the sporting equipment for the Willow Stars soccer team. Yeah. I also just want to direct you to the SAP website, because, Andile, we've heard a lot about what the program has meant to Sandiso, but I'm aware of the fact that his is one story of many stories that this project has helped.
That's true. We're about to enroll 2019 cohort. We always take up to 70 beneficiaries into our program to support and keep them in tertiary institutions to do what they've registered for. So
okay,
that's the tertiary support program.
Okay, so please go and check out saep.org, which is the website for SAEP. To remind you what that stands for again, it's the South African Education and Environment Project. They are a registered non-profit organization based here in Cape Town, doing amazing work at various different levels of the educational journey, but really making such a difference in the lives of many youths. And we'd love to see this interview help perhaps springboard that work, as well as the work towards achieving Sandiso's dream. I want to thank you both, Andile and Ryan, for coming in today to share that remarkable story
thank
of a
so
remarkable
thank
life
you,
with us.
Much.
And I really hope that there is a fantastic response to both the fundraising campaign and the call for sports donations on that walk on the 21st.
Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.